The Betty Ford Center this month celebrates its 20th anniversary. The center, which helped transform how Americans regard and deal with addiction, has grown from a single building to nine. Elizabeth Taylor has checked in, and so have 54,000 others. The center claims 7 of 10 patients have recovered. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Betty Ford and former President Gerald Ford about the treatment center.
The Fords live near the Betty Ford Center outside Palm Springs in Rancho Mirage. The former president and first lady sit down to an interview in an office just off their low-slung desert home, which looks out on a pool and an improbably green lawn. The room is filled with photos from their days in the White House and dominated by a replica of the massive oval table around which Gerald Ford once assembled his cabinet. It was in those years spent in Washington, where Betty Ford attended endless rounds of cocktail and dinner events, that she developed a drinking problem. A much-publicized mastectomy during her year in the White House added prescription drugs to the mix. Betty Ford says she was never out of control, which is why she was so shocked when, in 1978, her four children suddenly showed up here one Saturday morning and told her she had to get help.
I was very upset, of course. I was very hurt. I was very cross about it because I felt, here I've spent my whole married life looking after my children and my husband, and how can they say these things, and how can they confront me this way? So there was a lot of crying and a lot of very upset people.
But as we look back, that action was a savior for not only Betty's life, but mine, because when she stopped drinking, a year later I did. And our action in stopping drinking extended both of our lives, and as a result, I'm 89 and Betty's 84.
You ended up being admitted to a program at the Long Beach Naval Hospital. I've read that you were in a group that you called yourselves the Six Pack.
Well, that was just kind of a unique thing because there were six of us in the group, and you have to have at least some humor while you're going through this.
It isn't
all.
Too.
It isn't all down. There's a lot of upsides.
There was a lot of publicity about your own problems and your own overcoming of those problems, but you so easily could have just walked away. I mean, what moved you to just start this center?
When I got through treatment, I think I thought, well, I've taken care of that now, and I'll move on with my life and get back to my interests. But I had so many people that were writing me and wiring me and asking me, you know, how did you do it? They were people in need of help. And at that point, I realized there was a big need for help for people in a treatment center.
And not all of them famous.
As far as we're concerned, all our patients are stars. Among those 54,000, because we have several programs. We have a family program, which is very important for not only the recovering person, but for the family. They would be part of that number, as well as those who have gone through the outpatient program and the children's program.
The children's program, we're talking about children who have to live or have had to live with alcoholism.
That program is designed for those youngsters between 7 and 12 who are living in an alcohol drug situation in their home. As a consequence, they carry a great deal of guilt and a great deal of fear and a great deal of loneliness because they don't think there's anyone else in a situation quite like they are. So when we bring together 10 of these children or fewer, and they share and play together and learn that they're not alone, and it isn't that their families are bad or mean. These parents, these people that are caring for them, are sick people, and they need help.
You didn't want to attach your name to this center in the beginning.
I really didn't want to have my name on the center because It just seemed like it was too much of a personal thing. And it wasn't that I had been the least bit, you know, backward in talking about my alcoholism. In fact, I spoke about it around the country in order to raise money for the buildings. But it just didn't seem necessary to have my name on it.
It's very fortuitous that they did insist that the name be the Betty Ford Center. It had a certain attractiveness to people who needed help, that they could go to a place where a former first lady was chairman.
It was very helpful for women, too, because women had really, in many ways, been underserved. And as my name was on there, it was a safe place for women to come and be treated.
And over the last 20 years, you've been there.
This is, you know, anything that has my name on, I'm going to be there to see that it goes along in the way I feel is the most efficient and the best. There's many moments that I have been so moved by the person who perhaps is just coming in. Quite often, they will walk in with my book that I wrote about the intervention and our experience in our family. And that's been very helpful. But I generally give them a hug and say, it's going to be okay, and walk them kind of in a little bit, turn them over to the staff that will give them the love and the care and provide that safe place for them.
Betty Ford, along with former President Ford, at their home in Rancho Mirage. The Betty Ford Center turns 20 years old this month. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.